With a gubernatorial election and redistricting on the calendar for 2022, it's bound to be an exciting political year in New York, but with lots of unanswered questions at this point in January. To try to answer some of those questions in advance and discuss what will happen during the legislative session, we're joined by New York State Democratic Party Chair Jay Jacobs, who's going to do his best to tap into his innate precognition skills for us. Welcome back to the show, Jay, and I hope you're feeling in touch with the mystic arts right now, at least for our sake.
Well, I've been working a Ouija board all day, so
let's see
what happens.
Okay. So in November, state and federal legislative candidates will be running on new district maps, which will be decided by the Democratic majorities in the state legislature, assuming they reject the maps produced by the Bipartisan Redistricting Commission, which came up with competing maps, and decide to take the responsibility of map making on themselves, which is a low-hanging fruit prediction that I'm comfortable making by myself. What will that mean for the Democrats' chances of growing their share of the congressional delegation, even during a tough mid-year election?
If we just draw the lines fairly, in other words, fair to the Democrats, fair to the Republicans, you're going to find a pickup of Democratic seats, because in the previous redistricting, the Republicans who held the state Senate really controlled that aspect of it. And I think with a fairer look, we have the potential of picking up three seats. We're going to lose one seat statewide because of the census, mm-hmm. but I think that overall we could pick up three seats.
Well, it's true that the state legislative boundaries were drawn with the Senate Republicans having input, but it's my understanding that the congressional lines were drawn by a judge back in 2012. So do you feel like the congressional lines aren't fair as they currently exist?
Yeah, because I think they came off the previous. In other words, what happened there was it was off of the previous redistricting with very minimal change, mm-hmm. and I would say to you that the outcome wasn't good for Democrats in the way that the lines were drawn.
So where do you see the opportunities then, or actually not opportunities, using your prediction skills, where will the pickups be? Are they going to be in, say, central New York, on Long Island, in the city? Where will the gains be?
Well, I can't say for sure where exactly in upstate New York, but I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't pick up at least one seat in upstate New York. I think we can pick up one of the two seats that are now Republican in Suffolk County. That'll change a little bit in terms of how they move westward a bit. But I also think that dividing Suffolk County a little bit differently on a fairer basis, you're going to probably find one Democratic seat, one Republican seat, which kind of matches the registration in Suffolk County. And then if you go down into the seat that's in Staten Island, the Mallitakis seat that goes into Brooklyn, they're going to need to move into Brooklyn a little bit more. And I think that that's going to end up getting us another Democratic seat.
And what will redistricting mean for the size of the Democratic majority in the state Senate, which is currently at an historic 43 out of 63 seats?
Well, I don't think it's going to change it much. Could it move up a seat? That's possible. I can't say, having studied it enough, that I could give you a prediction on that, other than to say that I think that given where we're at, I don't see how you get many more seats out of that.
So turning to the top of the ticket then, what's going to happen at the state Democratic convention in February with regards to the party's gubernatorial nomination? For starters, do you think Governor Kathy Hochul will emerge as the official Democratic designee from this process?
Yeah, I think she'll be the designee, meaning she'll get at least 51% of the vote. I think she's going to get a lot more than that. The open question is whether any of the other candidates individually get 25% of the vote, which would then get them automatically on a primary ballot without having to go the petition route around the state. Kathy Hochul is going to do very, very well at the state convention.
Well, because we're making predictions, Jay, will Congressman Tom Suozzi or New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams hit that threshold to automatically qualify?
I would be surprised if Tom Suozzi decided to continue his run for governor and go to the state convention, because I just don't see at this moment in time the level of support that I would imagine he would have hoped to see. Unless polling data comes out that surprises everybody in the near term, he's not going to have raised much more than $2 million above what he's had. I think by the filing date, it's really not a sufficient showing. So I would hope that he would decide and use his better judgment for unity and for our efforts to keep the congressional Democratic majority. I hope he'd go back to running for re-election as member of Congress. So I don't see him running. And Giamatti, that's an open question. There are a significant number of progressive state committee members. Let's just see what he can garner.
And just circling back with regards to Congressman Suozzi, are you suggesting that you think he will not be in the race come mid-February or whenever the convention is held? Do you think he'll drop out before then?
That would be my prediction.
Wow, yes. That is a bold prediction. You must really be feeling that third eye right now. That's impressive.
Well, I'm looking at it in a practical sense because if he had nothing to give up, it might be a more open question. But he has to give up a congressional seat. And he can win that congressional seat, and he's a great member of Congress. He's on the Ways and Means Committee. He's close to leadership. He's stepping up in seniority just by the nature of the number of years that he's going to be there. So why give up that seat if you don't have a good shot at winning? And so how would I define a good shot? Well, as of now, he's got no union support. He's got no elected officials that have come out and endorsed him. He doesn't have any major community groups or other groups that have come out and endorsed him. I'm pretty sure that he won't have the endorsement of the mayor of the city of New York. That's a prediction. I haven't spoken to Mayor Adams, but I can't see him endorsing Tom Suozzi. He's a friend of Tom's, but I know he's close to the governor and likes the governor and likes the job she's doing. Mayor Byron Brown, I believe, is going to be endorsing the governor. I would suspect that's my prediction. And every other major elected official and, as I say, major constituency group of the Democratic Party. So what does he have? Unless he's got a large amount of money to go out on his own, you just can't make it happen in the state of New York. There are 20 million people in the state of New York. It's a big state. You've got to have some base support. He just doesn't have it. And he's got nothing in Nassau County, his home county. He won't get one vote out of the state committee there. And in Suffolk County, I think he's going to find pretty much the same.
Well, for listeners who are just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're getting political predictions from New York State Democratic Party Chair Jay Jacobs. So we're focusing right now on the top of the ticket for the Democratic Party in the primary in June. But let's think about further down the ballot. And in 2018 and 2020, we saw a handful of incumbent Democratic officials, as well as establishment Democratic candidates, lose primaries for state assembly and state senate to far-left candidates, in some cases the Democratic socialist-backed candidates. What are you anticipating will be the fate of some of these challenges in June to incumbents, as well as likely establishment-backed candidates? Do you think that they will be falling in the same numbers as those past elections, or do you think that the more mainstream candidates will fare better in 2022?
Let's first remember that most of these races and most of the candidates are moderates, and moderates do prevail. I mean, there are examples of places where far left and socialist candidates have won more numbers than I would like. You know, we saw the primary in Buffalo with India Walton in a primary defeating the mayor, who then came back and won his seat on a write-in. The ascendancy, if you will, of far left socialist candidates and that viewpoint has peaked. It's going to be dropping. And the reason is, I think the general public has spoken on that issue. If you look at the mayoral primary that just took place in the city of New York, Democratic primary, 70% of Democrats rejected the far-left mayoral candidates. The far-left and the socialists, out of 51 city council seats in the city of New York, decided to compete for six of them. They lost four, only won two. You're going to have socialist or far-left candidates win in isolated pockets where the constituency mirrors their views, and that's fine. And they should be represented by people who believe in what they believe. But these low turnout primaries which sometimes have multiple moderate candidates, which allow the far-left candidate to sneak in with a minority of votes, or just a plurality, I should say, of votes. We're not going to see as much of that. I think we're going to be a little bit more organized seeing that threat come along. And frankly, the Democratic Party is not a socialist party. The Democratic Party is a progressive party, but we're moderates, and we've always been moderates. And we're sometimes viewed as going too far to the left, but I think that's just an isolated and relatively small group within our party. And, you know, I reject the idea that that's what our party stands for.
And finally, in the governor's State of the State address, she made a push for state funding of college tuition assistance that would go to incarcerated New Yorkers, something that her predecessor tried to bring back, but ultimately gave up on pushing, in part due to pushback from his own party. Do you see that as a proposal that will gain any traction within the Democratic majorities in the state legislature? Or do you anticipate that some of the more moderate members, and even conservative Democratic members, will be successful in potentially killing that and stopping it from being enacted?
Before we do anything, we have to make sure that we educate the voters as to what it's about. Mm-hmm. And if you take a look at that proposal, and I think it's a smart proposal, and I think we should do it, frankly. You have to ask yourself the question, will it keep our streets safer or make them less safe? For those who say, why should we give any assistance to people in jail who've committed crimes? They're paying the price. They're serving out their sentence. But here's my question. Do you want those people, when their sentence is done, going out on the streets with no skills and no ability to get a job or work and go back in potentially into a life of crime and do something else that gets them back into prison? Or should we give them an alternative? Should we give them something that allows them to become a productive part of our society? And if we want that, then we have to help them. So I think it's a good thing. I think it means more safety for people in the long term, and we just have to make sure people understand that it's not a giveaway to criminals or anything along those lines that I know the Republicans will try to characterize it as. This is good policy to reduce crime in the long term and make sure that as many of our citizens as possible are a part of this society in a productive way.
Well, we've been speaking with New York State Democratic Party Chair Jay Jacobs. Jay, thank you so much for making the time, and I hope we'll get to talk with you much more in 2022. Does that look like something we might get done?
Yep, I hope so. Look forward to it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.